This is Noise in the Mega City. This month on the program, interviews and recordings in Jakarta, Bandung and Yogyakarta, Indonesia. Interviewees include Bob Ed Rien and Indra Menyus with music from Riar Rizalda and Mahesa Almeida.
Okay, so go to the back. Okay. Oh, I don't know how to get back though. So just to start, can you tell me who you are and what you do?
Okay, my name is Bob Ed Rien. I'm a curator and also, I don't know, a lecturer maybe. Yeah, that's all I think. Okay. Curator. I think it started out in 1930s when Sujoyono and his colleagues made this collective called Persagi, Persatuan Ahli Gambar Indonesia. It's in 1938, and after the Independence Day on 1945, we have shifting from the revolutionary state of the art to the more there most diverse genre. I think there is three. One from institution, we have the first art institution in 1950s. We have ITB, Institut Teknologi Bandung, in here, and then Akademi Seni Rupa Indonesia, ASRI in Yogyakarta. Now it's called ISI, Institut Seni Indonesia. Both have a different approach. While in Jogja, the approach is more about nationality, about the how Indonesian art developed. While in Bandung, we actually influenced by the Western modern art, such as we could say the abstract art, formalism. Because the lecturer is also from Netherlands, we have Fris Mulder, Simon Altmiral, etc. And then, beside the institution, we have the cultural institution under the Communist Party. It's LEKRA, Lembaga Kebudayaan Rakyat. We have a different point of view from that cultural movement. Social realism is more developed in LEKRA, so we have like three different approaches towards art in Indonesia. First from Jogja, it's talking about nationalism, and then Bandung more of Western modern art, and then LEKRA we have more social realism paintings sort of. And then in the 60s, I think in 66, when the Communist Party was I don't know, it's kind of the government start to destroy the idea of the Communist Party, and then in 66 Sukarno, what is it, he Suharto is elected, I guess, in 66, and then in the 70s we have I don't know, we called it a rebellion from the young artists, especially in 1975 we have GSRBI, Gerakan Seni Rupa Baru Indonesia, which in 1975 they made an exhibition. This is the first exhibition where the artist, the young artist, uses a mixed media on his as his mediums, not only painting or just sculpture. And starting from that, 75, and then the 80s, and then the 90s, we have more variety in our medium. And I think the 70s is one of the shifting years for Indonesia to become a more integrated in, especially in the medium of arts.
And you mentioned something like Black October, Black December.
Yes, Black December, it happened in 1974. That triggered the movement from the young artists to make the the GSRBI, the Gerakan Seni Rupa Baru Indonesia, the new art movement, I think. So 74, there is the Black December, where it's kind of a competition in Jakarta, in Taman Ismail Marzuki, painting exhibition. But then the competition is the result, I think, the result for some young artists, it's kind of unfair for them, because the winner is still using the same approach as they do in the 50s, doing abstract form and then formalism and stuff. And then the young artists start to make a rebellion with the new art movement in 1975. Until 1979, they made about 5 exhibitions from 1975 until 1979, when they declared they part ways in 1979.
So the new art movement starts primarily as a rebellion against the institutions.
Yes.
that had kind of sanctioned this kind of backwards looking art.
Huh.
Okay. And that's also the moment when different techniques, new media, are being sort of introduced.
Yes.
And this is primarily happening just in Bandung?
Mostly the development of art in Indonesia is, I think, in Bandung, Jakarta, and Jogja. Mostly in Bandung and Jakarta. And we have a different approach from the 50s, like, Bandung has a more Western kind of style, and then Jogja have their own style. I think the dichotomy, I think it's still on until 1980s or 1990s. We still have that talk about the dichotomy between Bandung and Yogyakarta until now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I think these two cities mark the characteristic of Indonesian art.
Terima kasih. Pandutu eno wakane temena tihena wa tatabuanga raki honeymoon. Pandutu eno wakane temena tihena ahua tatabuanga raki honeymoon. Pandutu eno wakane temena tihena ahua tatabuanga raki honeymoon. Pandutu eno wakane temena tihena ahua tatabuanga raki honeymoon. Pandutu eno wakane temena tihena na ahua tatabuanga raki honeymoon. Palutu eno wakane temena tihena ahua tatabuanga raki honeymoon.
Are there cassette stores that specialize in noise or like punk around here?
Mine.
Yours? Where's your record?
In the house.
In your house. Okay. So noise bombing is not just you, right? The record label.
So there's Jogja noise bombing. It's like the collective.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had this called Noise Bombing Records that we release noise like from mostly Southeast Asia.
Mm.
And then there is Jogja Noise Bombing Records.
which is just you.
Just me and Sean.
Okay.
Noise Bombing is Sean.
Yeah.
Usually.
Is he Boss Battle?
Yeah, Boss Battle, yeah. So the Jogja Noise Bombing is me and Sean. We released stuff from Jogja Noise Bombing Collective. Like we did Split.
Yeah.
Like one of our crew doing Split with another band. Yeah, they usually released that on tapes. But for the Noise Bombing, we can release anything. Like so, noise from Southeast Asia.
And then do you have you have another record?
Yeah, Rela Mati Records. Yeah, Rela Mati Records is mostly my bands.
But not just noise?
Not just noise. Yeah, there is like, yeah, post rock. I have a lot of bands. I had another band called LKTDOV, which is, we play post rock, screamo, like Mokwe, Envy.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Vale, entonces,
2015, what is the state of modern art in Bandung or in Indonesia more generally?
Recently, we the issue I think that happened in Jakarta, Bandung, and Yogyakarta. We talk about a community-based art. In Bandung, we started in, I think the three cities started at the same year, I think in the early or the late 90s until the early 2000s. Especially we called it the after Reformation, Reformation after Suharto in 1998. And then we start to move as a community. As in Bandung, we have a movement we called it distro, distribution store, where all of the young people make a lot of store where they made the shirt and the product by themselves. We started from that, and also in the art movement we have communities like that. Bandung have Common Room, started out in 2001. Jakarta have Ruang Rupa, also started in 2001. And then Jogja have some community, but I think it started in Cemeti in 19. It's far before 2000. It's 1989, I guess. Cemeti, yes. It's one of the oldest gallery in Indonesia. And then after that, right now we sort of thinking like maybe the art of after 2010 in Indonesia, especially, we're talking about network, we're talking about community-based art and collective, artist collective. We have a lot of artist collective here.
What in your opinion, what are the issues that the art that is being made now in these community spaces, what are the issues that it's dealing with? Because I see in modern art, an obsession with form, and often and either tradition, whether it's breaking with or revamping. What is the community-based arts?
Okay, it's not really rigid, but I think the three cities have a different approach about the community-based art. In Bandung, Common Room started out with new media. Before, the ITB have an intermedia studio. Common Room has started it with the idea of making a lot of exhibition about new media. And then in Jakarta, Ruang Rupa start to develop a public art. They interest in making a more public engaged exhibition. And then in Jogja, I think they have a more close relationship with the market, I think. So the three cities have different characteristics, even though they're mostly started after 2000, it's mostly community-based.
And are these spaces supported by the government, or how are they funded, as far as you know?
I think the government government start to help this movement. I think it started in 2010 until now. From the beginning of 2000, it's the funding coming from a a foundation like Japan Foundation, and then some philanthropists. I think the government started late, I think, to see this movement.
Yeah, because when you do decide to break away from institutions, one thing that you lose is the financial.
Yeah.
And we'll wait for the thing to go back. So again, in your piece, you mentioned the integration of sound as one of the components.
Yes.
You remember correctly, you talk about it as coming sort of out of this Dadaist and Fluxus movement, especially you talk about Bundung mm-hmm. being very influenced by Western art.
Yes.
Can you speak a little bit about the introduction of sound into the integrated arts and modern art scene?
In the new art movement in 1975, there is an artist called, his name is Bonyong Muniardi. He made this work called Patung Suara. It's sound sculpture. It's basically a radio, and then he closed it with a vitrine, but radio is on. I don't know. The idea is about something or a news that being repressed because of a political issue. But on that year, in that year, in 1975, I think Jim Supangkat, as the curator, has a, I don't know, he got a lot of influence from the magazine and books imported from outside Indonesia, and then he developed it into the idea of an exhibition. He influenced the his peers, his contemporary artists, to make an exhibition like New Art Movement did. But actually the idea of sound first developed, I think, in the 80s, where Harry Dono started to explore. He experimented with the sound from a chip, from a toys. And then he also, in my interview with him, he also said in the 80s he started to record the area like market in Yogyakarta to, I don't know, he said one day maybe I could use it for my work. So he just stored it in his recorder, and then he made an installation with sound, started in the 1989, I think, in his first solo exhibition in Cimeti. He made this, he called it Aquarium Art Mubeng Art. It's aquarium art. Mubeng art is something like spinning art. So he made this exhibition that developed the idea of movement and then sound also. But at that time, Indonesia have not known about the term installation art. Cimeti called it the 3D experimental sculpture. And then in 1992 and 1993, Harry Dono made an installation that developed also the movement and a kinetic and then the sound. And in 1993, Jim Supangkat, it's like Jim Supangkat said in his curatorial about the term installation art. And then after 1993, we called everything with that medium, with installation. Mm-hmm. But the idea of sound, I think, started with the idea of Harry Dono doing some experiments with that. And then in the 90s, we have Jompet Kuswidananto in Jogja, Fenza Kristiawan. And after that, sound is like, I don't know, just one component of the installation work. It's not really the core of the work. So the sound art, the idea of sound art, I think it's probably, it's still developing here. But the artists like Duto Hardono, did you meet Duto Hardono last Saturday?
I don't think so.
Duto Hardono is one of the young artists that have the awareness about the idea of sound art. And actually the first exhibition that using the term sound art, it started in Galeri Sumarje in 2007. It's Good Morning City Noise Sound Art Project. And the curatorial is also using the timeline of global history of sound art. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, it started maybe in 2007, And Dito Hardono has made a solo exhibition in 2010, where he has the idea of the sound art, the sound as the core of the work.
Mm. So it's still not in its infancy, but in its early days.
Yes.
So outside of modern art and art spaces, there is this developing noise scene, mm-hmm. and the event that you curated on Saturday, I think you used the term computer music. What is the difference between noise and computer music first, in your view?
Okay. Salon is not about the computer music. Salon is about the performance and discussion about sound and music. So we basically we're talking about sound and music, and computer music is just a part of the salon, and especially Salon Volume 7. Mm-hmm. From Salon Volume 1 until 6, we have a different theme. Like in 6, we have a theme about a guitar, and then in 1 and 2, in 1 we talk about new music, Volume 2 we're talking about collaboration. So it's not only about computer music. Mm-hmm. And regarding the noise and computer music, I think it has a different medium, or we can say it has a different devices. Mm-hmm. We can see the noise music developed with the analog models, with stomp boxes, and also we see some noise musician using laptops or computer to make the performance. I think it's more like how they approach the device. It's not about how to make a difference between computer and noise. But in the last salon, I'm talking about how computer become an instrument, a new instrument for the new musician. Where we, in my youth, I learned to play music from guitar or piano, but I think the younger generation, maybe their first instrument, it's not guitar or piano, but a laptop maybe. That's the idea of the Salon Volume 7, I think, about how computer can make. I use this subtitle, Panasonic, how the computer can how the computer can contain both sounds, the analog sounds and the digital sounds, where computer can remake the instrument sound like guitar or piano, but also he can make the original computer sound. So it kind of scary, you know, computer have that kind of power.
Yeah. Celebration, like local celebrations, it's like the entrance to get some event with the local celebration, like weddings, anniversary, like Silent Day yesterday, you know, with the Hindus.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of this like a sign that they have some event that welcoming entrance with this.
Okay.
A symbol of welcoming the entrance, basically. Okay. Whether it's for the social event, wedding, local experience, whatsoever, they use this all the time.
Ah, so you put them at the entryway or say...
Yeah, like welcome. What, any kind of welcome. It's hard to describe, but that's the thing.
You didn't wish it in a bar?
Yeah, in a bar. Taman Kuliner. It's like a... Yeah, but it's a beautiful park with a lot of people. Like, you know, study or like a... doing photo session or just going out with their kids, and then we play noise there. And then the security came and he asked to stop, and I'm like, you have to get license, blah blah blah, and you have to go. Okay, and we go, and then I think 1 or 2 years after that there is a big festival called Festival Kesenian Yogyakarta, or like Yogyakarta Art Festival. This is one of the biggest, and you know, they invite us in the same venue to same play time. Like 8 times. They did like 1 month show,
yeah,
there in Taman Kuliner, and they invite us. Okay, can you play here for like 8 times?
8 times.
I think that's 8 days. Like, you're like, okay. So it was like ironic because this is the place that. And then now we got invitation and getting paid, like, yeah.
Yeah, the art scene has to say it's okay, yes. And then it's okay.
Oh, man. Actually, it's just like, we had to get like confirmation from like a foreign scenes or people from outside,
yeah,
to like say, oh, this is good, and then people, the local people say, okay, that's good.
Like Vice has to write about,
yeah,
it. Like noise artists from America has to come and be like, wow.
Yeah, when we started this, people was like, how are you doing? And then, you know, like, first, the wire right about us.
Of course.
And then we play, like, in Europe and stuff. And then people started, oh, you're good. And then we got invited to play, like, in a a lot of art festival like Art Chok,
yeah.
Which is like it's hard to play there if we're nothing. Yeah, it's like, you know, some of the part is like Western people try to see the what happening in the Asia, and then they write their opinion on it.
Yeah.
But you know, if you write book about Southeast Asia, I think you just put in the interview and stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than talk about your opinion as the Western talking about the Eastern. Akustikan driver.